This is the podcast that gives you news and views from a Knot Street perspective. This is Knot Street Cast.
And welcome to Knot Street Cast. I'm Joe.
I'm Josh.
Hey, Josh. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing well. How are you, Jojo?
Oh, listen to you being all cutesy-bootsy all of a sudden. It's like I was talking to you.
I couldn't resist.
Yeah.
He's got that masculine voice, so I had to, you know. He's the butch one, y'all, podcast, so I have to, right?
I think you just gay it up for the podcast. I talk to you normally, you don't sound like this. Not at all. No. You don't sound
I'm
like
sober
this.
Sober today.
Oh, is that what the difference is, huh? Does your voice go when you're sober? I see how you are.
No joke, can attest. It was so funny. He made fun of me, y'all, a minute ago. Because he said, your hair's flat. And I said, yo, I'm going to do the podcast with you. I said, I've been working from home today, taking care of some errands. I said, let me take a shower. I'll get back to you in an hour. So I didn't put any product in my hair. So I'm fucking with my hair before we start this recording, y'all. So Joe just says, I don't know if I can be friends with you. Look at that hair. It's fine. And he can attest 5 minutes before we started recording, I went and got this Moroccan oil dry texture spray shit out right here on Zoom. I'm showing it to him. I know y'all can't see it. Viewers, if you could, I'd show it to you.
It's and a it's blue bottle. Stuff. Yeah.
I just, it's expensive too, but I like literally just sprayed like a shitload of my hair because JoJo made fun of me.
And then all of a sudden you're coughing and like, basically you're crying almost.
And then he looks at me and my face is like red and I'm snotting and I'm like tears running down my eyes. And I was like, I haven't used this stuff in a long time. So anybody, this is good stuff. Moroccan oil.
Right.
Little goes a long way. Been a couple months since I used that one. So yeah, I had to gag myself. Glad the cat's outside. So she would be like losing it.
It's like one of those cases. I also work from home there too. And I still do my hair up and I put on, you know, deodorant and, you know, cologne stuff.
Well, I mean, I got totally dressed. I just said, okay, you know, you would think guys with as tight as JoJo and I are, he wouldn't have to have said anything about my hair.
I'm joking. It just looked different because it looked a lot flatter than normal.
So I've got my hairbrush now, y'all. My Moroccan oil out. And I'm sitting here gagging myself on this podcast. And none of y'all can even see me. So this is all for you, Joe. It's all for you.
You know what it is there, too? I think your hair is longer than normal.
It is longer than normal. Yeah. I've let it grow a little bit. So, yeah. I'm letting hair out a little bit. We're going darker, too, so. All right. Well, I am glad to hear that you, my friend, excuse me, are feeling better.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny, though. So we recorded that podcast. And then a few days later, I felt fine. And I went bowling. Sunday.
And you had a really good game.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you don't count the second game, I bowled a 212.
Oh, he's so hard on himself, y'all.
A 101 and a 181. Don't ask me what happened in the second game. Actually, what actually did happen is I threw four splits in that game. And I could not convert any of those spares either. So it was basically one of those cases where it was kind of like I just could not get started, you know?
And I would love to go bowling with you because I haven't been bowling a long time. I don't know if I ever went bowling in Pittsburgh even. Okay. I don't think I've been bowling in Atlanta. Like, I don't think I've been bowling since I was in like North Carolina or something. Like, it's been a long time. So I need to go bowling.
Well, once you get up here in the year 2030, we'll go bowling.
No. I take that back. I knew it couldn't have been that long. It was some company sponsored event, but that's not the same when you're with your buddies. You know, it was one of those. Yeah. It was in New York. And we were in Manhattan and they rented I can't remember if anybody's in New York listening to the show, you know, there's this really nice bar food. Like they do it all in one spot. You have bowling, you have all kinds of stuff. And
yeah,
so we had chartered a bus from the hotel and we all went bowling and everybody was shocked. Cause I told them I used to bowl like when I was younger and I was at a bowling league and they thought, oh, he's full of shit. Like, it's just typical Josh. Like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, right. You know?
Then you kick their ass, right?
Guess who fucking won all three games? This little bitch right here. And they were like, this little fucker ain't playing. And then they thought for sure, okay, well, let's get him drunk. You know, so they kept throwing me beer after beer after beer after beer, thinking, okay, we're going to throw him off his game. You know, like, we're going to get this bitch back, especially by SVP.
And then you're just loosening up and throwing bowling back.
And then,
right?
And then I just got better and better.
Because you care less. Yeah. I probably could stand the drink a little bit whenever I bowl there, because it's kind of like, maybe I'm a little too uptight or something. Cause
I think that's why I love bowling. It's one of my favorite sports. Like, I've always done well at it. I haven't done it in a long time, but, and you know, I did it even when I was younger, but I like the fact that you can sit around and like drink and chill and kind of, you know, like hang out with folks too. And
that's also part of the reason as to why, though, I don't think it's an Olympic sport yet.
Yeah, that's kind of odd.
Is because people consider it to be kind of like a casual activity.
Yeah.
But I think it can be competitive. I mean, hell, they had breakdancing this year.
They have those tournaments and all that stuff. I mean, it might not be Olympic, but we have tournaments and stuff. And I mean, that's a big deal. Like, you know.
But one thing I will say, though, is that bowling, in a sense, I think is losing its popularity slightly there, because the league that I'm on Sundays used to take up all 40 lanes where I bowled.
All
and now
40?
we take up 16 lanes.
Ugh.
So we're only taking up, like, you know, not even half the alley at this point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it used to be where people had to be on, like, a waiting list to actually go and bowl in this league. Yeah. And now at this point, it's kind of like we're trying to get members, you know. So this is the Steel City Bowling League is what I'm on there. And actually, I kind of volunteered to do their new website, so I'm going to be doing that here.
Okay.
So, speaking of websites there, LGBTQ Radio, I updated that website there, as I talked about last week, but I also then added something new to it this week, which is that you can now request songs on there.
And I got to be the one to do it first.
What'd you request?
It was a Queen song, because he's such a queen, y'all. No, he really likes Queen. It was so funny. I was somewhere and he was like, "Hey, try this out." And I'm like, "Okay." So I did it, and I did. It was some Queen song.
You requested "You're My Best Friend."
Yes, I typed in "friend" and then I requested.
You also then requested thank you for
being a friend.
The Andrew Gold version, though, of it.
Yes.
Not
the theme song, you know, not the Golden Girls one, but
well, a lot of people don't realize that song's a cover song.
It really is. And yeah. I've got my Blanche mug right here, as you can see. Quiet, you trash. But yeah, I requested that, and then you said it was working, and then I requested the other one. So the radio, I'm really excited about.
Well, at first I thought that you could just request song after song after song. Apparently you can only request one song every 20 minutes. So that way it would give everybody the chance to actually get their choices in there and everything. So without, you know, it completely wrecking the playlist there that we have on the station.
Okay.
So go ahead and try it out there. It's on the website. Also too, we added a song request form now. So if you want to submit your music to LGBTQ Radio, which we're always looking for new LGBTQ artists on there, you can certainly go ahead and do that here and actually upload the song to us there. And basically view it there, and as long as it fits our genre, we'll play it on the air. Because unfortunately, I had somebody said to me, like, submit to me a rap song, and it's kind of like, the rap song was good, don't get me wrong, but it's not really in our genre at all, you know.
It's in mine.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it's we don't play rap on the station.
It's because of Joe.
Well, I'm not saying I don't like any rap songs, so it's not like, you know, I won't make exceptions there. Like, for example, the Jay-Z and Beyonce song.
I know, but you like
Empire State of Mind is a great song.
You like the, or what should I say, more commercial rap.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but the question is, like, for example, would I play, like, Old Town Road by Lil Nas X? Probably not, because it's considered a country song.
It's one of the biggest selling songs.
Pop, rock, alternative, and new wave.
Well, you need to add some more categories. But let's move on.
I would play his other songs, though. But he's also an LGBT.
Joe and I can go on about music forever, y'all.
So it's a tough choice to make there. It's kind of like, you know, I guess maybe I would. I don't know. Because it's just a good song. And it's popular. And he plays, his other songs aren't country. You know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, also, too. Did you vote yet?
No, I have not.
Because I have voted and my ballot is turned in and we are all voted.
Good. I have not. I want to fill out something online to get my mail-in ballot thing. And like the neighbor that takes care of my cat was coming over. It was before I went to North Carolina or whatever. And there's so many pages to fill out. And I was just like, oh my God. So don't ever try to say Georgia is hard to vote by mail.
Sounds because, like, they're making, like, it hard for you there, right?
I was like, this is a process. Like, so then when my girlfriend shows up who takes care of the cat, she said, Josh, honey, I'll just, it's so much easier in Georgia just to go in person. She's like, right. We'll go down the street together. We'll go have lunch. Early voting actually opened up in Georgia. The deadline to vote was yesterday or the day before.
Okay.
There were several commercials that came on. Well, I was streaming. Like, there was, I was really happy that they were telling people, like, today is the day. Like, you have to register now. But if you're already registered, I think it was October 5th. So me and her are going to go soon because we were neighbors. We have the same polling place and everything. So we're just going to do lunch and go and just go in person. It's actually easier because it was like there were so many steps to request it. And I was just like, I'm over this already. Like, I felt like it took more than a job application. So I don't want to hear nobody crying about Georgia trying to steal the vote with some mail-in crap because, you know, it's not that simple. You got to be a little techie. Like, I mean, it asked for a bunch of crap and you had to scan your ID, all kinds of crap. Like, so, I mean, it was a little difficult, you know, like then when my girlfriend was like, we'll go, I'm like, let's just go in person. So,
this will be
the first time I voted in person since 2016.
Oh, wow. Well, still, it's kind of like one of those cases where, you know, people are like, oh, this is a, you know, this is an election for the ages. This is going to be like an impactful election. I feel like that's like any election now at this point where we involve Donald Trump in the election there. Obviously, voted blue. You know, I voted blue.
I kind of figured.
Across the whole entire line. I voted for every Democrat I could there. One year, though, I did some photoshopping and I had a picture of my mail-in ballot and I voted and I made it look like I voted for Jill Stein, you know, the Libertarian candidate.
Yeah.
And I wrote in the Facebook post there where I posted the doctored photo. It was like, it's like my body, my choice. And I had the Dr. Stein photo. Oh my God. I got so much crap over that.
I bet you did.
I did. I got so much crap over it. I'm like, this is not true. If you know me at all there, you know, I'm a Democrat, you know?
Well, it's definitely gearing up.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, Atlanta, I'm getting so sick of the ads.
I was getting ready to say, well, I don't see any Trump ads in Atlanta. So this is the funny thing. We have,
that's no all I Trump see in Pennsylvania.
Ads. But I checked my mail today and everybody knows I do everything electronically. So I really, really check my mail almost like once a week, you know, I'm like, okay, I need to check my mail. So I checked it today. It's Wednesday. Typical Wednesday is when I'm like, oh, okay. I might want to go check my mail. Oh my God. Another 5 postcards from Mr. Trump himself. And this, I can't count, like, and it's so funny because the little garbage can, like we have our recycling like set up, like behind a fence right there. So like when people get so much junk mail, that way it's easy for them to recycle paper and stuff. And like
they just throw it in the trash instead of like,
it's all filled with Trump because there's a new one that comes every other day. So I went over there, I had 5 just in the last week and there had to have been at least 5 the week before. So like, he's not doing like here, at least like media wise, we're not getting the commercials. I saw one commercial today and it was some other organization though endorsing him, and but that everything else has been Harris. And I haven't gotten any Harris postcards. I get all Donald here, like,
yeah, pretty much here in Western.
The media is all Kamala's.
I don't think we're getting a lot of like Republican stuff there because this is such a Democratic stronghold here in the Pittsburgh area.
And we're purple, so we're going to get both, but it's like, it's really funny because I think Trump has really pulled away from, I'm not seeing a lot of TV spots. All I'm seeing is,
well, the Republicans don't have nearly as much money as the Democrats do there, so that's probably the why.
Yeah.
Yes, I think they're focusing on states where they have to win, like Pennsylvania, for example. And it's like one of those cases there where Georgia's been more of a Republican stronghold for them there, so they're probably investing less money there, but in Pennsylvania, it's kind of like literally every ad I'm seeing is a Republican ad. And it it particularly pisses me off there because I'm seeing ads about transgender folks. And it's just kind of like,
see, I'm the opposite. Kamala is all for mine they, like,
them, not us. And it's kind of like, shut the fuck up. Seriously.
Mine are different. Yeah. It just depends on where you live. Yeah. It's very swayed by, and people don't realize that. Like, I like how people try to say it's the media, but I'm like, you got to think these politicians and their campaigns pick these spots. So depending on where you live is depending on what you see. That's depending on what you're going to see in Pittsburgh, depending right. on where I'm going to see in Atlanta. You know, Trump already knows, why waste airtime in Atlanta? He already knows Atlanta's not going to vote for him.
See, what's interesting about like the Pittsburgh market area there is Morgantown is part of the Pittsburgh market area. So we'll see West Virginia ads there as well there. And West Virginia is obviously a little more Republican than Western Pennsylvania there. So it's kind of like, you know, it's just a lot of scare tactics, you know, and I feel like the whole entire playbook with the Republicans this fall is transgender bad, you know, illegal bad, you know,
bad.
And it's just kind of like literally all the Democrats have to do be like, turn the fucking page, you know, this doesn't need to be a case there where it's kind of like everything is gloom and doom and, you know. You know, fire is going to fall from the sky kind of thing there, which is what literally I feel like the Republicans are trying to do here. You know, just trying to scare the fuck out of people. And then also, too, it's kind of like even like with what's currently going on with the hurricanes. There's Helene. Right. Now there's Milton. It sounds like
we've opened our city right now. They're all here. Like they're all coming to Atlanta.
Right.
Everybody's on their way to Atlanta right now.
Oh, yeah. So you meet some new gays, you know.
Probably not the way they want to be met, though, you know?
Right, yeah.
But hey, it is Pride Month here, so it's like, but yeah, it's not looking good. Like, they said the majority of people, and we open up our, like, easy pass lanes and stuff to divert traffic today to, like, help speed it up because,
you know,
the traffic's already outrageous. But if you saw the pictures I saw today of the it was just unreal. Like, because we have so many people, like, we're the safest, we're the easiest and safest place to get to. So, a lot of people are running from that hurricane and coming here. So,
the thing that makes me is that I'll see the stories on, you know, like Facebook, actually Twitter is more likely while I'm seeing that, is basically where, you know, it's kind of like, oh, people are engineering these storms. You know, Democrats especially are engineering these storms. It's like, why would you not vote for people who, like, why would you not vote for people who have that power, you know?
Right.
Because if they have that power, you know, also, too, I saw something funny. It was kind of like, don't you think that if they had that power, they would have dropped the house on Marjorie Taylor's head at this point?
Oh, Lord.
That witch, yeah. But I'm feeling better. At least from a voice standpoint and everything. I don't have the head cold anymore. I'm not tired as hell. But you've been having some trouble with your foot still.
Yes. So they say I need surgery. And now I'm like, okay. But I did get a cortisone injection with something else in it. I don't know. Honey, I was just like, shoot it up with whatever. So at least I got some relief.
Right.
They're saying surgery. I don't know. We'll see. It's all got to be approved. It's such a hot mess. I don't know that I even want to do it, honestly, or if I'd rather just postpone at this point, live off some cortisone for a while. You know, like, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. It's just up in the air. At least it's more manageable. You know, I mean, you got to think when this all happened, I was in a boot, I was in crutches, PT.
Right.
It's been, I'm like, at least I'm walking. You know, like,
well, not to upset your foot issues, but I've been waking up for the past 2 weeks there and the heel of my foot has been sore.
Uh-oh.
And then I realize as the day goes on, it feels better.
Right.
Long story short, I feel like I pulled a muscle in my foot.
Yeah.
Okay. And then talking to people, multiple people, it's like, you probably have plantar fasciitis. Because apparently my mom has it, you know, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds like they may be right there. Because basically what happens is, like, if I get off that foot and I go to sleep for like 8 hours and I wake up, it's kind of tight. But then I realize once it loosens up, it's fine.
Right.
It's like if I work out, it's fine. If I walk around, it's fine. It's like if I'm like, you know, basically if I'm just sitting down being sedentary, then that's when it tightens up there. So I ended up getting a foot massager.
God.
So this is the foot massager I got. I'm showing.
We need to do these video.
Yeah, we do. This seems to be a video podcast sometimes, I think. But basically what it
this
is
cool.
That It's a combination back massager, and then it has a attachment there, which like looks like, what would you say this looks like?
I don't know.
Looks like a urinal, doesn't it?
Oh my God. Now that you say that, yeah, it kind of does. Like, oh my it's God, like, it took me. I mean, yeah,
basically
it does.
In here, there's like these balls.
Oh, Joe's feet. Old, you guys. He can't make it to the bathroom in the middle of the night. It's his new little porta potty. Oh.
No, not at all. Not at all. No.
Sorry, I can't resist you.
But basically, I can put my feet
now
in here.
Now that you said that, I cannot not see it. So wait, right?
And it has the massage balls in there. And basically, it massages your foot. Oh, my God. It feels so good. It's almost orgasmic.
For purposes, it's a back massager. Massager. And if he can't make it to the bathroom, y'all.
The reason why it's a back massager is that you can take this part off and then put it behind your back.
I see that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. Yeah.
So in this case here, then, in regards with this is that once I put my foot in here, it's like it warms your feet up there too. It goes back and forth. It feels so good. Like I said, it's almost orgasmic. And in this case here, then basically it feels good and it helps my foot out a lot, I tell you what. So, but yeah, I mean, it sucks that you continue to have these problems with your foot there.
Yeah.
Thank God for cortisone shot. That's all I have to say.
I'm very happy. I'm thankful for it. It's something, you know, it's better than I've been doing. It's been PT and then wear this stupid shoe, I'm so over it and get this MRI and see this star. It's just, I'm like, I'm freaking over it. Like, I just want to go back to life.
Just chop off the damn foot already.
I mean, I'm like literally like seriously over it, but at least I have some relief. Like, oh my God, that's the most relief I've had in so long. So I'm like thankful. Like,
amputee Josh.
Shut up. All right, let's move on.
All right. So we've been talking about we've been talking about the election there. Obviously, it's coming up there. But did you watch the vice presidential debate?
No.
Or you? I think you said to me you watched like 10 minutes of it, right?
I watched 10 minutes of that shit, and it was boring. No offense.
Did you see like the news clips or anything there?
No. Mm-mm.
Okay. No. Well, I mean. Let's put it this way. JD is a better speaker than Trump. I will give him that much.
Oh, I knew that. I mean, just from watching the 10 or 15 minutes that I watched, I knew he could definitely speak much more coherently than Trump.
Exactly. Yeah. Sure. But yeah, basically, Tim Walz asked him there, it's like, did Donald Trump win the 2020 election? And JD Vance could not answer that question there. Directly, he's basically kind of deflected. He's like, we look towards the future, you know, and plus also too, kind of rewrote history. It's kind of like, yeah, they handed over, you know, things, you know, without any issues there on like whatever date there that, you know, they take office and get inaugurated and everything, without completely ignoring that January 6th, there was the coup that was trying to occur then.
Right.
You know, I could tell though that Tim Walz though was a little more nervous there, you know, and he made a faux pas himself there as well. There, he said he's friends with school shooters. The MAGA Republicans, they took it out of context and were using that as a sound clip and everything there. But it was kind of very telling there. Whenever basically JD is basically running in lockstep with Trump there, with like, you know, trying to make January 6th look like, you know, it was a peaceful walk in the park. People died that day, you know.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Anyways, sir. Okay. So we're going to go ahead here and we're going to take a break.
All righty.
Thank God. And we'll be right back with the news here on the Streetcast after this. Hey there, listener. Did you know about Audible? Audible lets you enjoy all your audio entertainment in one app. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from bestsellers and new releases to celebrity memoirs, mysteries and thrillers, motivation, wellness, business, and more. You'll discover exclusive Audible originals from top celebrities, renowned experts, and exciting new voices in audio. Audible also includes thousands of podcasts, from popular favorites to exclusive new series. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month and keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Members also get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible Originals, and podcasts. You can download or stream their included titles all you want. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anywhere, anytime, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores. You decide. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Go to audibletrial.com/NSC. That's audibletrial.com/NSC.
Attention gamers, ready to level up your game collection? Discover Gamefly. With Gamefly, rent the hottest new releases and classic favorites for your console or PC. No due dates, no late fees. Play as long as you want and swap when you're ready. Plus, enjoy free shipping both ways. It's the easiest way to game your way. Sign up today at nsc.lgbt/game and get your first month free. Gamefly, your ultimate game library, delivered.
If ensuring speed and security for your sites is really a top priority for you, then search no further than VoxOnyx's shared website hosting plans. They use SSD-powered servers and provide numerous site acceleration tools that make your websites load noticeably faster. Additionally, they deploy ZFS data storage to shield your website contents from corruption. Also, they will manage the task of migrating all the websites you need to their system. Absolutely free of cost. Get started now by going to VoxOnyx.com. That's VoxOnyx.com.
Craving a sound check that celebrates you? Tune in to LGBTQ Radio, playing your favorite not-straight music. From pop anthems to indie beats, LGBTQ Radio plays the hits that cater to our community. Stream your favorite artists and discover new tracks that'll keep you dancing all day and night. No talk, all tunes, LGBTQ Radio, where every beat is a celebration of you. Listen now at LGBTQRadio.com.
Welcome back to Not Straight Cast, and now here's the news. And with the first story, this is Josh.
None other than me.
That's little Josh
today.
Yeah.
I can't resist. All right, let me get serious, y'all. All right, I have the first story. CNN host Anderson Cooper could barely talk after he was left bewildered by a video in which Melania Trump promoted her new book and claimed that she supports reproductive freedom.
Big.
He was referring to a video released by Melania to promote her memoirs, due out next week, entitled Melania. In the book, she defends the right to an abortion, even as she has spent the last several years campaigning for Republicans to win elections and roll back abortion rights.
The former First Lady is making news tonight on abortion rights, which in her new book, she says she should be, quote, free from any intervention or pressure from the government. She said more in a video promoting the book.
Individual freedom is a fundamental principle that I safeguard. Without a doubt, there is no room for compromise when it comes to this essential right that all women possess from birth, individual freedom. What does my body, my choice really mean?
Sorry, it's the first time I'm seeing that. That's the weirdest promo I've ever seen. Like the lighting. I'm sorry, I've written four books. I've never seen a promo like that. Wow.
Anyways, yeah. So
yes.
Basically, the video was like this black and white film noir video there. And it was like, okay. You know, and then also, too, the position that she's coming across and saying is the exact opposite of what Republicans are for, you know?
Yeah. Well, let me continue. That was very interesting. Melania Trump is Donald Trump's current wife, and she helped him campaign in his previous two presidential runs. His successful 2016 campaign led him to being able to put three far-right justices on the Supreme Court, who promptly helped him overturn Roe versus Wade and ended the federal right to an abortion in the U.S.
Hello?
So.
I'm trying to figure out here how her views, you know, coincide with his at all.
And I didn't even know. Joe and I met previously, y'all, because he knows I'm moral. I usually get to do the pop culture stuff. So,
well, that is pop culture, right?
I actually got to do Melania, and I'm very happy I did, because the hypocrisy of her being a woman and, you know, her right to body, even though Donald and his friends say women have no right. I think the promo like is just so silly. Like, I just
Remember, she's the person who wore the coat there that says, I don't care why she
Yeah. And she's like, I could care. What was it? Like, I don't care what you think. Or so, I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, I've always known like she could care less. So it's like, it's really not surprising to me because it's like, I know that woman don't give a fuck. Like, she's just right. with him for status and power and money. I mean, she's been, poor thing's been cheated on a million times. I mean, you know, she's
it's just obviously a marriage of convenience at this point.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And I don't know why she even stays. It's, I don't know, but whatever.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's funny. Now we're going to have her memoirs.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, are we going to go back to the days when she posed nude and all that fun stuff? And she was butt ass naked and, you know.
I think she addresses that in the book, right? So there you go. But
how,
yeah,
apparently I got my start as no model. How I met Donald at party.
Donald was very charming.
Very charming. He raped me and drugged me. I'm joking. I'm so joking, y'all.
Penis. Like, yeah, right. Yeah.
I'm so joking. But you know, I mean, oh my God, you know, they probably met at some fancy event and like, you know, he totally wooed her and she's like, obviously like, but yeah, I mean, obviously she was a model. I mean, you could Google and find butt ass naked pictures of her. Like, you know, like there's no other first lady who's naked on the freaking internet. Her memoir should be interesting.
Ours are, you know. Anyways, yeah. So, but anyways, getting back.
Sorry, that gave me.
No, you're perfectly fine there. It's just getting back to what Magda does best there, spreading lies.
Well, I do have to give the woman this. I've always thought she's pretty. Okay.
Yeah, I will give her that much. She is.
I know
pretty.
She don't talk much, as we can see why.
I don't think she ever thought she was going to be first lady. You know.
Yeah, I don't think she ever really thought she'd end up in this position.
Right.
You know, but you know, every woman with their individual freedom and right can do what they want to do. So she doesn't have to stay with Donald. She could leave. So at this point, I'm like, look, honey, that's on you. Like. You know,
and whatever. Apparently whenever the log cabin Republicans have somebody speak at their events, it's usually her.
It's just so funny. And I can't ever understand her half the time anyway. So it's just like, I don't know. Very interesting dynamics.
And apparently the reviews of her book has not been very good either. So anyways, moving on to more Magda crap here.
Okay.
So yeah, like I said before, Magda's good at lying, you know. They're not lying about hurricanes. They're not, you know, they're lying about, you know, Kamala's record. And then they're lying about Pete Buttigieg. Apparently, MAGA social media influencers are spreading a lie from a parody account on X claiming that gay transportation secretary Pete Buttigieg is HIV positive. Let me find that boo sound. Yeah.
And even if he is, who the fuck cares and whose business is it?
They're trying to shame him for something that is out of his control if it was true, but it's not even true.
I know, but I'm just saying, even if he was, like,
you know, basically, the right wingers have been recirculating it to make sexually explicit homophobic attacks towards him. In response, his husband, Chasten Buttigieg, urged his own social media followers to keep working to elect Democratic presidential nominee Vice President Kamala Harris. The lie originated from an October 1st post by the X account Breaking 9/11. The post simply read, "Breaking: Buttigieg reveals that he's HIV positive." The post didn't link or mention any sources. The account's bio says, "The king of the gays parody artists. If you fell for my bait, you owe me $8. So obviously, you know, they were basically like, this is a parody account. The post has been reshared from an account at least 795 times and viewed over 1 million times as of Thursday evening. The account has since posted other false headlines, including ones that former President Donald Trump's wife filed for divorce. My book. The Pope resigned, and that Democratic vice presidential candidate Tim Walz was accused of sexual conduct. None of these claims are true. The account's Buttigieg post was also shared by Stu Peters, a right-wing influencer who has over 1.5 million followers across various platforms. The Anti-Defamation League describes Peters as an anti-Semitic conspiracy theorist who regularly promotes anti-LGBTQ plus and white supremacist beliefs on his show and social media, and has engaged in Holocaust denial. He's currently being sued for claiming that a gay father raped his own children. Peter's post repeating the lie about Buttigieg has been shared over 3,900 times. While there's nothing defamatory or shameful about living with HIV, 85% of Americans believe that stigma persists around the disease. Anti-HIV stigma treats HIV-positive people as dangerous or sexually promiscuous. The stigma is perpetuated by HIV criminalization laws, a lack of HIV-positive characters on TV, and a lack of health education that leaves people unsure about the diseases transmitted.
That's just crazy.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's just kind of like, you know, it's obviously a parody account, you know, kind of like the whole eating cat and dog thing is a parody as well. It's not even true. You know, it's kind of grown into a life of its own there. It's kind of like, why would you possibly say something like that there? You know,
I've got to share with you. I saw something.
Go ahead.
It's a remix. They have a remix. Somebody made a remix
of the cat and dog thing.
I'll have to share it with you after the fact, just because you brought it up, because I forgot about it.
Okay.
And they have Trump, and it's like a total rap, like hood rap, like
I think Gucci I've Mama seen that remix. Before. Actually,
yeah. I love it. It's like
everybody's like dancing in the kitchen.
It's nuts. Yeah. I've got to show it to you. Sorry.
I think I've seen totally it already, actually.
I did mean to get off topic, but I'm like,
but oh, I think our like listeners should go and check it out there.
Yeah, that's crazy. So,
anyways, there. Yeah.
I can't believe he did that, because it's like,
you know, it's just absolutely incredible there, bro. They're basically, you know, go and find the worst things about people there. It's kind of like the whole entire, you know, basically modus operandi of the Republican Party is to be as homophobic and anti-LGBT as possible. Especially we see that when it comes to folks who are transgender.
Right.
You're really getting the short end of the stick here when it comes to the Republican Party. And it's kind of like, I think you're trying to get more of it. It's not drive people away there. And it's basically they're trying to use fear tactics to go ahead and do so. And it's just gotten to the point now where it's just kind of like, oh my God, give it up already there, because you're not winning any new votes. You're literally, you know, turning off the people that need to vote for you there to actually make right. your party successful. So if you have to ask me here how this election is going to turn out, it's going to be probably one of those cases where people are going to repudiate exactly everything that's going on in that party, and they're going to lose the election again. You have a feeling it's going to be a blue wave.
We shall see. I'm thinking so too. So, but I'm not jinxing anything. So
the fact that it's as close as it is right now,
it's I know, but we're, it was close. Amazes me. There,
it's
so,
kind of like people have no fucking critical thinking skills anymore. You know, if they ever think that he's possibly a good choice for president, you know. But
we shall see. Anyways,
I'll get off my soapbox here.
Get off your soapbox.
Right. And we're going to go ahead here. We're taking another break, and we'll be back with more stories here on Not Straight Death after this.
Looking for your next great find? At 2nd and Charles, discover a road of treasures. Books, vinyl records, video games, and more. Whether you're into the latest bestsellers or nostalgic classics, 2nd and Charles has got you covered. Visit nsc.lgbt/Charles to check out their online selection. That's nsc.lgbt/CHARLES.
Couplet is passionate about specialty coffee. Queer woman owned and built for everyone, Couplet was created to make great coffee more fun and approachable. They skip the pretentious tasting notes and gatekeeping and get right to the good part. Ridiculously delicious coffee you can prepare however the f*** you like. Shop online at nsc.lgbt/coffee. That's nsc.lgbt/COFFEE.
The Kaya is a fresh new British LGBT plus travel. One focused entirely on the guest experience and creating memorable, bespoke travel experiences to amazing destinations with stellar entertainment and world-class hospitality. The Kaya charters entire ships and resorts so that their LGBT plus travelers have the freedom to express their individuality, make personal connections, celebrate life, rev up, or simply relax together. View your Vikaya dreams with their e-newsletter or book a vacation by visiting nsc.lgbt/VACAYA.
Celebrate Pride every day with Pride Check, where you can wear your pride loud and proud. Discover a vibrant collection of LGBTQ plus apparel, accessories, and home decor that let you show your true colors. From rainbow flags to inclusive tees, we've got everything you need to express yourself. Plus, a portion of every purchase supports LGBTQ plus charities. Shop with pride and make a difference. Visit nsc.lgbt/pride and find your new favorite way to shine.
Welcome back to Not Straight Cast. So we're halfway through the show now, Josh. How you feeling?
I feel great. Actually, Joe knows I just had to let my kitty back in.
I know. Yeah.
Speaking of which,
I saw a tail coming across the screen there.
I know. It is National Black Cat Month, apparently, in October.
Well, yeah, I think it would be, right?
I know, I guess it does make sense. So anyway, we're celebrating Ebony like we don't every single day. So,
so you love back. Your black cat just as much as you love your black men, don't you, Josh?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. All right, we'll get on with the news.
Anyways, you got me there. Yeah.
All right, I have yeah. Gay.
No homo.
Anyways. This is an interesting story you have coming up about book bans in California.
Yes, especially given my industry. So California Governor Gavin Newsom has signed the California Freedom to Read Act, Assembly Bill 1825. The law forbids any state-funded public libraries from removing books or refusing to purchase books based on their views, ideas, or opinions. I am so happy about this one. All right, the law says that any public library jurisdiction that directly receives any state funding must develop a written and publicly accessible collection development policy for its branches and submit that policy to the Office of the State Librarian by January 1st, 2026. The policy explains how librarians will develop their collections, taking reader requests and concerns into consideration, while also ensuring diverse points of view in the collections as a whole include a range of social, political, aesthetic, moral, and other ideas and experiences. The state librarian may prove technical assistance to help jurisdiction develop their policies. The law also states the materials may not be excluded or have their access limited solely based on the race, nationality, gender identity, sexual orientation, religion, disability, political affiliation, or any other characteristic or socioeconomic status.
So basically here, I guess what they're trying to say here is that California is banning book bans.
Right. So that the materials can actually include that content unless the content qualifies as obscene under Supreme Court precedent. Okay.
Yeah.
The court generally defines obscenity as something that expresses a shameful or morbid interest in sex, nudity, or is potentially offensive as defined by state law and lacks any serious literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. So therefore, this law says that librarians, the media specialists, and other employees or contractors of public libraries, they can't be fired, they cannot be demoted, disciplined, or retaliated against. Thank you for making any good faith displays, acquisitions, or programs. Nor can they be disciplined for refusing to remove any materials that haven't first gone through the library's official review process.
No homo.
Any governing board, body, or commission that reviews library materials may not restrict access to materials, but must ensure they remain safe and secure in ways that effectively manage resources while preserving access for all library users. Our freedom to read is a cornerstone of our democracy. Unfortunately, there is a growing movement to ban books across the country, including in California. Book bans from conservatives, parents' rights activists, have turned public libraries into ideological battlegrounds targeting librarians, public funding, and marginalized people nationwide.
This has gotten old, huh? You know?
Yes. And California is like the first one to be like, this is wasting our time. It's wasting our money. Like, Cali's getting it together. They're like, look, this is ridiculous. So as he went on to say, libraries play a special role in the public civic education and the free exchange of diverse ideas and information. Over the past year, more than 3,000 books have been banned in libraries across America. For the American Civil Liberties Union of California Action, according to the Bay Area Reporter, these books disproportionately feature stories about LGBTQ communities, people of color, historically marginalized communities. And these book bans to this effect are not only discriminatory, but they are violations of people's First Amendment right to access information. Thank you, California.
I know, thank God.
In September 2023, Governor Newsom signed a law that forbids schools from banning LGBTQ inclusive books. And that law also requires schools to have trained staff to help queer kids, reiterates protections for teachers against policies requiring the forced outing of LGBTQ students to their possibly unsupportive parents.
It's about time somebody goes ahead there and finally, you know, gets things in California straightened out there. I mean, California is very progressive, thank God, you know.
Yes.
And it's about time somebody goes ahead there and says there enough is enough, like we were saying before.
Well, we have it over here on this coast, and I'm like, I wish some of these governors over here would start taking his role and his stance, because it makes the librarians' lives so hard. I mean, a public library, school libraries, you name it, like anybody that works in publishing, it's like, and especially these conservative rights, like these mom movements, and just these different right-wing organizations, they're trying to pull all this stuff out of school. They're trying to rewrite history. They're like, I don't want this book. I mean, there's books that I've read that are now banned.
Until we can get Donald Trump out of politics, I don't think this is going to change.
One state, and I shared it on my Facebook, and everybody was shocked. One state banned Charlotte's Web.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, that's a classic book. I mean, I read that growing up there. You read it, too, probably. Yeah, it's kind of like, it's a staple, you know?
But I'm glad California is like, look, we're tired of wasting our time and our energy on this. Like, look.
Because people have these ideological ideas about, you know, what people, other people should read. Because it seems like very much the way I would explain it is that Democrats are about choice. You know, like, for example, abortion choice, you know. Not everybody wants to have an abortion. And, you know, Democrats realize that. But if you want to have an abortion, there's a safe and legal and, you know, thoughtful way to go about it.
There. Right.
But the problem is Republicans just simply want to have it their way or no way at all. You know, it's like my way or the highway kind of situation. And it comes across with other things there too. Like, for example, these book bans, it's kind of like, you know, because I think this book is bad, you're not going to read it there. When the, you know, the Democrats are kind of like, let them read it there. And if they don't want to read it, they don't have to. We're not going to force them to read it. But if they do want to read it there, maybe they can expand their mind a little bit, you know? It's just utterly frustrating to see where it's kind of like people just think it's like my ideas are better than your ideas. No, they're not. And that's why we end up with 3,000 books banned, like the story said, you know?
Right.
Oh, man.
It's ridiculous. So I'm really happy. I'm like, way to go, Callie.
I'm pissed off today, aren't I?
I know.
I'm in a mood, but I mean, you know, I'm in the right mood for the podcast. Let's put it that way there, you know? Anyways, there, you know, so Josh had the serious story here. I have the lighthearted story, right? So
get it, JoJo.
The choice of wine can't be one of your girls. He might just try and steal them. The Rush singer, who's currently touring North America alongside Charlie XCX on their Sweat tour, shocked fans with a new TikTok post on October 3rd, in which he implied he's entering his heterosexual era. Yes. You heard correctly.
Lately, I've been getting TikToks like from girls who, I don't know, I guess think I'm hot. And I'm considering it because I still don't have a boyfriend and it's been a fucking long time. So maybe it is time to switch. Give it a go. You know what I mean? Let's try this together. I can't promise anything. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing, but... Yeah, maybe, I don't know. We can try.
Anyways, yeah, I completely, utterly, you know, can concur with them sometimes. They're just kind of like, it's just frustrating as all hell. Yeah, so we can safely assume that he was joking. You know, I mean, you know, granted, he writes about bottoming, you know.
Yeah.
And then nonetheless, the clip is received over 1.2 million views on TikTok. It was enough to fire up the internet, of course. Furthermore, his sardonic post came a week after Addison Rae certified It Girl and Gay Twitter's new pop favorite superstar joined Savon and Charlie on stage at Madison Square Garden to perform her latest single, Diet Pepsi. After the performance, Rae joked in an Instagram story that she was in love with Troy. "You don't understand. When we touched heads during Diet Pepsi, I had butterflies, then couldn't even look at him again." It sounds like this might be Addison's chance. Regardless, Savon has supplied fans with surprise after surprise over the past year. Last month, he took to TikTok to sound off on an unfounded viral rumor that alleged that he was only touring America to hit Grindr in every city. "I don't need to travel the country to get laid," he clapped back. "I can get laid wherever I want. I'm going on tour because I released an album, because people are buying tickets to come see the show. So fuck you." And then there was the gag-worthy interview on Emily Ratajkowski's podcast where he came out as a top. "I think in the sort of consciousness of gay people, I'm like some sort of power bottom, but that's just not the case," he said, adding that he's not a bottom at all. Well, there you have it there. The gay community has got to get it together. Otherwise, we're going to lose our gay pop prince to the dark side, you know?
No homo.
To be honest, is there any like Savon who's complete heartthrob both in and out of drag, can't lock down a boyfriend? Is there any hope for the rest of us? I know there's no hope for me, right? I'm going to be single the rest of my life here the way this is going.
Oh, you never know.
Right?
You never know.
Well, maybe if you move closer to me, maybe, you know, finally. Yay.
I love him too. I was shocked to hear this one. Because I've always liked him. And I think it's so funny because one of my, good girlfriends, she got married. She's had kids. You know, we still stay in touch. She lives in Roanoke, Virginia. The last time we talked, she told me, asked me if I listened to him, you know, because she says, "I just absolutely love him." Like, she's totally in love with him. She said, "My husband thinks it's so funny because, you know, I'm always listening to him." And she's like totally in love with him. And they have like two kids together and they're married. And we went to high school together. But he is a heartthrob, that's for sure. And he's very good artist too. So it's kind of interesting to hear him say that. He almost kind of sounded serious too, which is the funny thing. Like,
and you must admit, he does have a sexy voice. Hello.
Yes, he does.
But anyways, we've come to the last story on the show. And guess what time it is?
What's that?
It's the moment of conclusion. Brought to you by...
Gay.
So in our moment of conclusion here, you won't believe this here, but a school district in South Central Pennsylvania is drawing a lot of criticism for a plan to put windows in the bathrooms. They want to put windows in the bathrooms. So Board President Matthew Gilazira told the paper that the windows would allow view only into the non-private areas of the restrooms, not the stalls. But critics still say it's an invasion of students' privacy, and specifically targets transgender and non-binary students. So they go on to say there, a Southwestern school district engages in renovating multi-user restroom facilities. It has an interest in opening a view into the non-private area of those facilities in similar fashion as to what has existed for years in our elementary schools. In making the area outside the stalls more viewable, we are better able to monitor for multitude of prohibited activities such as any possible vaping, drug use, bullying, or absenteeism. Our students should not consider the space outside of our stalls as private within the multi-user restrooms, he continued. Our current policy states in any facility in the school district that's for use based on gender identity, which a person may be in a state of undress in the presence of others, school personnel shall provide private changing areas for use. Areas between our stalls and sinks in a multi-user restroom are not private changing areas under that policy. This has been a progression of policies that has been provided to the school district by the Independence Law Center. Eric Stiles, the executive director of the Rainbow Rose Center, an LGBTQ group in York, PA. They are providing all this input and how they need to address, for lack of a better term, the scare they're going through over with LGBTQI folks, Stiles said. They've done book banning and not using pronouns and adding students to their parents. Now this latest attempt is these bathroom windows that really call into concern the safety of students. I'm sorry. You know? I mean, it's just kind of like, it's just completely, this has gone way entirely too far. Styles went on to say they're placing windows in the restrooms is going to have a silencing effect. It increases the danger for them trying to use the bathroom. He said, I know from reports they're trying to increase oversight of the wash area. They basically have every right student in the right restroom. And Vic Walczak, the legal director for American Civil Liberties Union, basically said, it's kind of eeky. Let's be clear. This isn't into the stalls. It strikes me as kind of creepy, but I'm not aware of any law. It doesn't mean there isn't one out there. And it's just literally creepy and weird. It's kind of like, you know, the one place where you actually can have a little bit of privacy. They won't put windows into it there, you know?
I know, but what kind of windows were they putting in? Like, did they elaborate?
Well, I was reading another story there, and they said that basically it's kind of like they're putting windows there that they can hear stuff going on in that bathroom there. So, I mean, I'm sorry. It's bad enough that you have to go to a public stall to go to the bathroom there because you're going to hear noises, right?
Right.
Like plop, plop, splash, splash, you know? Or
yeah,
but seriously, we have already these multi-gender restrooms. They're in your own house.
I know, right?
And it's really a case here where it's kind of like these people are in private stalls. They're not standing there at the urinal there exposing themselves, you know? It's just,
I think it's crazy.
Yeah, it's just literally
and a waste of conservative money.
Thought process is just kind of like, you know, fuck you, we don't want you going to the bathroom because you're different than me, you know. And I'm sorry, this is just a window literally too far, you know.
That's crazy. I just, we're back to the bathroom thing again.
Yeah,
you know, like we've been going back and forth with bathrooms for so long now.
It's like, leave and then people now alone.
The school district is wasting money on windows to put into some bathroom. I'm like, okay, like, whatever. Like, we don't have other things to spend money on, you know? Like, okay.
You know, basically all this is going to do is keep people from going to the bathroom at school, you know? And they're end up squatting in the hallway and pooping. I remember. Oh, God. Speaking of which, speaking of pooping somewhere there, there was a tweet there. It said, I haven't listened to a podcast in years, but it's time. And it's best podcast. You shat on the floor at my wedding, a true crime podcast by a Kiwi woman trying with her wife and a mate to track down who shat on the actual floor at her actual wedding on a boat.
Oh, God.
Would you imagine, you know? Like, literally, I swear, you know, something like that's going to happen, you know? Basically, you're going to poop in every corner, you know?
Then my kids are just going to revolve.
Yeah, exactly. It's just kind of like, enough is enough, you know? And it's just, this is stinky and old. So,
yeah.
With that said here, I think we're done, so.
All right. So,
anyways, here we want to thank you very much for listening to Not Straight Cast.
Yes.
So email us at feedback@notstraightcast.com, or you can record a voice message at nsc.lgbt/vm. And if you want to access all our websites, you can go to notstraightworld.com. And until next time, have a not straight one.
Have a not.
A not gay one, huh?
I would just say have a not gay one. Have a not straight one, yeah.
Have a good one. We'll see you soon.